I think what I'd like to do with you today is give you a few items. First, on just some general principles in working with another person or a couple. And then I would like to go back into the business of a training goal or a training objective and the profile. Then I would like to have you work on them for just a few minutes together. Then I'd like to summarize how to use and develop those, and then give you time. In fact, I would like you to ask questions as we go. Now, I'm giving you a pretty big dose here on what we often would take a good bit longer to do, but I really feel that you can take some of these things if you really want to and continue to make use of them. Now, some of you are very proficient probably at working out of your hip pocket. In other words, you just have a second sense of how to help another person. And that's a real gift. There are some people that do that. In the navigators, there are people who are tremendous trainers, but they are not able to train someone else to repeat. Do you see what I mean? In other words, they do a good job themselves, but their people don't really know what they did with them. And like one guy who is really fantastic in the area of servanthood, and I wrote him a letter and said, would you please give me some help? I really need some help in how to help someone in servanthood. And then he wrote me back a three-liner and says, well, I'm really not too good at that. I don't think I can help you. But that's his characteristic for the last umpteen years. So at staff conference, we got together and he says, well, I just don't know that I can really help you any. I think you probably know as well as I do. In other words, he could do it, but couldn't communicate how to do it. Now, thank you very much. If we are really going to reproduce, we must help people who will be able to help someone else. That's how the process goes. And so, therefore, even though you're very good at that sixth sense of how to help someone, how to determine the need, how to do this and that and the other thing, it's very important that you be able to communicate to someone else some ideas of how to do that. Okay? Now, you may have heard some of these things before, but I think they bear repeating. Some of these are little proverbs and what have you on working with people. Okay? One little area thing that you ought to keep in mind is this. Telling is not teaching. Just because you have told somebody something does not mean that you have taught them anything. So teaching involves a number of other areas. And by teaching, what I basically mean is that they have received and understand whatever you are trying to communicate to them. You know, I never can remember this little thing, but you know that little sign that you say, I know you think you understand what, let's see now. I know you think you understand what I said, but what you think you understood is not what I meant. Whatever that little thing goes, you know what it is that says that. You just can't assume that someone has understand, and so what you need is some method of feedback. Okay, another thing is teaching. Is not training. Now that is something that we find some people operating under, that if I teach and they understood, then they are trained. But teaching generally has to do with theory, whereas training generally has to do with seeing it work in a person's life. Now, I outlined the other evening, I think the night before last, some things in the area of training, and I'll come back to that. So I'm going to put a word here that may help you key on that. Practical. There are other words you could put in. This isn't a particularly good statement, but it'll do for the moment. Training is not doing. In other words, a person can be taught and trained and still not apply. And of course, that's why you're stressing application with people here, is that you want them to have the knowledge and you want to have them have the ability to do something, like have a quiet time, but you also want them to do it. Okay? Now, the process we go through, the other day I gave some things that had these. One, we talked about knowledge. I just expand a little bit on this. Knowledge, what was the next one? Okay, now think through now. Just instead of looking at your notes, now think the four areas that we would like to help a person in.
Understand.
Okay, I'm putting it with knowledge.
Skill
was the next one, so we want them to know how to. I believe I put that on the, I believe the night before last in the thing on contacting man to man. You were sleeping then, that's no problem. Yeah, the thing people cheated on, you're right. See, it didn't, now look, it didn't help you to cheat a bit, did it? You can't remember a thing because you were right when I was talking. Okay, knowledge, skill.
Vision was the last
one, that's right.
Character.
Right, and character. Okay, now if you will keep in mind when you are helping someone in their own walk with God, that you really do want to help in these areas. Okay, now the knowledge has to do mostly with the understanding and the intellect. Okay, skill has to do primarily with know-how. The area of character, I don't know that there's a good word to put with it, but it is the inside of a person. His motives, I think, might be, motive or attitude. And the vision now, the thing that you could give that has to do with the why. In other words, this is his motivation for doing whatever he is doing or what it will result in. Now, I believe that every time you meet with someone, you ought to review in your mind, until it's somewhat second nature, that you will be communicating in all three of those areas. Now, you will not say, okay, the knowledge portion of our time together is, the skill portion is, the character portion, but you have those in mind, and you remember that you have a certain amount of knowledge that you communicate with. The other thing you may have, you won't always have a skill that goes with it. The skill just may be in the area of thinking. And of course, the character is the communication of your life and that you're trying to get down deep into the person's life that will be a root for him to continue operating. And the vision is why a person does something. Have you all been through some of this before in this thing? Some of you have, I would assume. How many is this somewhat new for? Can I just see your hands? Okay, well, I just don't want to cover a lot of old ground. For you. Okay, now, one other little thing I want to... yes, ma'am. How can I separate what now? Okay. This is a little artificial any time I try to do it too, too mechanically. But the motive down deep inside is what motivates this person, why he does it. The vision is why it ought to be done. Do you see the difference in those two? One is a little bit more intellectual in the sense of the vision. It's looking forward. It's seeing the result, knowing what it is contributing to, being able to see what that disciple will look like down the road, or being able to see how his part contributes. Whereas the motive is down deep inside this man, his relationship with God. Bud, you had a comment?
Well, yeah. In my experience, I think that's probably the area of motive or the area of character is the most difficult for me to, in trying to help someone,
right.
see their own, to see what their own attitude is about it.
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes, in my opinion, that if that point is weak, well, the whole thing will collapse.
Mm-hmm. As soon as you leave, it'll collapse.
Yeah. And it's difficult for him to see, but it's difficult for me to communicate to him what his own attitude really mm-hmm. is about, so he can really get it.
Right. Right. And it's very sometimes people don't know just what really is the source of their own attitude. Okay, now, when you're communicating a general thing that you want to communicate to them, and this is one I think you probably have heard, and I'm just giving you several ideas of how you can do this. As you move into the communication with them, you want to tell them why. In other words, don't just lay a quiet time on them and say, all right, this is it, do it. See, so somehow you need to motivate with the why. God loves us and He wants our presence. Christ did it, so forth. Okay, then the second thing that you want to have is to show them how. And then the third thing is to keep them going. In other words, what I'm getting at here are your responsibilities. The one responsibility is their motivation. The second is in the area of their skill. And the third is more complex because it's something you have to do to help them keep doing it forever. I was thinking, as Bud shared that, external motivations are us beating down on them and the Word of God coming into their lives. The internal motivation is the Spirit of God taking this and changing their character so they keep doing it when, especially the external motivation of us checking on them, ceases. See? Okay. Okay, I think that for now, let me leave those things. Do you have any questions about those particular areas that we just covered now? Just a little bit of how you are going to communicate, what the basis of your communication is. Okay, let's review just for a little bit now as to what we came into last time. Last time we got into the area of talking about some kind of a goal. And you remember, let me even go back farther. Remember we did this little bit right here. We went through and this was what we identified as follow-up. And this was disciple-making. In other words, we proceeded on to help person in discipleship. Okay, then we identified two things that fit under what point in the profile. Do you remember what it was? Yeah, it was under the Lordship area. He puts Christ first, taking steps to separate from sin. That idea. And then in that, we tried to break that down into bite-sized chunks that we would be able to use as markers as a person grows and develops in his or her personal life. And then after we had identified one of those, we went down and said, okay, let's take one of those bite-sized chunks and we said, now what would a goal be? And then we identified what a training objective would be. Now I didn't call it by that just because it sounds a little cold, but I don't know anything better to call it. Training goal would be all right. It has a goal in mind in terms of a result. You know, something that they would be or do. And then it has some measure. Now the measure is not so God knows what they're doing. I suspect that God has a pretty good perspective on it. But it is somehow to give us a key relating to needs. We are humans, and even Paul says judge others by the example that you have in me. So he had an example in mind. Jesus said, as I mentioned earlier, if you continue in my word, then are you. So I think it is a valid thing scripturally for us to use some kind of a measure. Now, please be sure and discern between a measure and a judgment. Okay, now, see, we are not judging them. See, to judge them has in the idea the grading and condemnation, pass and fail. All we want is a little nail on which to hang our hat in the sense of where we will help them next and where they are in their Christian lives. We could be wrong. But it's better than nothing. And very few people have just that inner sense of where a person is. After you work with people a great deal, you somehow can sense where they are. But unless I ask them, say, by the way, how are you doing in your quiet time? I probably won't really know. And there's a general little rule that you can follow in your ministries. If you assume something, you will generally be wrong. You assume they're having a good relationship, husband and wife. You assume they're having a quiet time. You assume they are sharing their faith. You assume that they are receiving what you are sharing with them wholeheartedly. That is, their motive down deep inside is good. And what I found when I assume things, it's generally because I do not want to go through the trauma of finding out. So it's easier to assume, just like when you're witnessing to someone, it's easier to assume that they're saved than unsaved, right? Because if you assume they're saved, you can assume a very positive relationship. But if you assume they're unsaved, it puts upon you a burden of responsibility to share the gospel. So the area of assuming things is something that I believe you should be very careful in. Okay, now I want to go back into this business of training objectives, and I want to have you do some work. Now, how many teachers do I have in here? How many school teachers? Well, now, if you really criticize this according to Mager's preparing instructional objectives or one of those things, you can find lots of faults in this little statement we just kind of made up. But the fact is, it doesn't matter that much, because the precise wording of something is not what's going to make it happen. The key thing is that you are looking for his victory in this area. You are going to, just for sake of illustration, hope to see a couple areas of his life, and then you would like him to evidence something happened by sharing, confessing, changing. So your goal are these two things, and your measure is this, this, and this. Now the measure may not be adequate. That is, just because he shares it, confesses it, and changes in that area does not mean he has total victory in his life. But it is a step in route. And I suspect that you probably have some areas that you don't have total victory in your life. No, of course not. My good night. Thou Pharisee, standing on the street corner. So, it's a step. And what I want to have you is to have that little map. You know, the Los Angeles freeway thing where they finally comes up those little three things and you see your street on there. It's a great relief. You know, you're going to make it to your appointment on time and so forth because you see a mark along the way. And how comforting it is, like just for instance, this British officer that I'm working with out at the Air Force Academy, when I first contacted him, or really he contacted me, accosted me in the elevator one day and says, "You're Jerry White." And I said, "Yes, that's true." and he said, "Well, I've been looking for you." And he says, I want to get involved." Now, you like to have them like that. But what he said intellectually and with his mouth was a little different than all he wanted. For instance, we're walking down the hall at the academy one day, and I said, "Say, do you do any scripture memory?" And he kind of became a little defensive and said, "Well, yeah, I do scripture memory, but I don't do it with those cards." stuff like that. And he didn't say it quite like that. I can't say it like a Britisher would say it. But he got his point across. And I said, oh, fine. But within 3 months, he'd ordered the TMS and was doing it. And do you know why? I never talked to him about it again, but he started helping guys. And then I think probably he changed his own heart in the matter and pressed on. I don't remember what that applied to. Whatever my point was. Whatever my point was, apply it there. Okay, now we... I'm tired this morning. I told you that. It must have related to assuming things or somewhere along that line. I think it had to do with the fact that I did ask him. I could not force him, but he went and I prayed, and as he saw the need, he went ahead and did it. And we often have to work in that same way. Okay, now with the training objectives, and here's what I would like to do. I want you to do some work this morning, and I think we'll take, let's see now, we got 34 minutes left. Okay, now what I would like having you do, we have gone through point one, perhaps not to a great extreme, but we have done some things. Now what I would like you to do, I will assign you various ones in this profile, this row and that row and so forth, and groups, you can just kind of group together in threes and fours for a minute or two, and I want you to come up with, in the area in which you're working, three or four intermediate steps to completely where you feel the person is established in this point, okay? And I'd just like you to note the areas, okay? Then we're gonna stop, and I only want you to take, oh, he's got some extra profile things if you all need them. Someone need one? I'm not going to give you more than about 4 or 5 minutes to do this. Now, you had a moment, and the reason I wanted you to do it was that you kind of agree with me what I'm saying. You say, boy, that's clear. And then you start doing it, and you find out, well, you know, when you get really down to doing it, I'm not sure it is quite so clear. Now, what I would like to do for a moment is just go through each of these. I won't take time to write them down, because I think you should go back and do your own. But in your area, just whoever your spokesman is, mention some things that you saw, and I'll try and help you change them or be more concise or whatever. What'll end up, if I can let this process go on forever, I could multiply 9 by about 10, and we'd have 90 different objectives. Well, that's too many, and we need to simplify. We're not trying to make a super saint number one out of this person. We just want him to be a growing disciple. Okay, in area number two, who had that? Okay, would you mention some things that you came up with?
Well, I would share prayer requests, share answers to prayer, would ask for requests. His prayers reflect scriptural guidelines and a real step of faith based on prayer.
Okay, now what would you think on that? Is he left something out? I detected something I think was left out. Yes. Okay, that would be it. It's coming into that. The area I was thinking. Excuse me. Go ahead.
Well, his quiet time.
Yeah, his quiet time. Did you mention
that? Oh,
you're just on prayer.
We just have prayer.
Okay, fine, good. Now, I think probably you have, you could lump that into probably two simple statements. He is beginning to pray on a regular basis, as evidenced by sharing requests. See what I mean? Okay, and then you might have a second objective. He has experienced some answers to prayer and is developing his prayer life or something like that, and then write down a couple intermediate objectives relating to his quiet time. Okay, let's go to three.
Three is he demonstrates faithfulness and desire to learn and apply the Word of God through regular Bible study. He completed books 1-6 and studies of Christian living. The new TMS are equivalent. What we were attempting to do here, not sure that we understood the assignment, was to... keep smiling.
was to identify some activities or materials that we could implement.
Okay. Now, that's fine to do that, because that will be part of the process. Help me out. What did you put down?
We had scripture memory at the beginning of Christ, and we were thinking in terms of 1 month period.
Okay.
And beginning with Christ and possibly getting enrolled in TMS.
Excellent. Okay, those are very good things, because, for instance, I would then break that down into three or four or five basic things. I would, all for the first month or so, he will begin scripture memory as evidenced by memorizing the B rations and enrolling in the TMS. See, those are measurable things, and you've got him started. And then later you would have one that he completes the TMS somewhere along the line. But they're different. If you just say complete the TMS as your only objective, I think you're going down the road, and what you need to do is help him along. In the area of studying the Word, I would state something having to do, we get him started in some area of Bible study as evidenced by, one, say, his being in a Bible study group or his doing lessons on assurance. Okay, so you see what I mean, how the statement and then the measure. And the measure often is activities. Okay, let's go to number four.
Number four, he manifests a heart for witnessing, gives his testimony, and presents the gospel regularly with increasing skill.
Okay.
I think the first thing we add is he has developed his testimony and can give the bridge illustration. Secondly, he is available and willing to participate in witnessing with you. And third, he has increased confidence in sharing his testimony and does so frequently on his own. And then last, he develops a vision where witnessing is a natural part of his Christian life.
Okay, now they went pretty directly to almost writing a training objective. Okay, and you probably, the only area that you would need to work on there a little bit is to work in the area of measurability. You need to say, what will tell me when they've done it? But you see, they went in sequence. Did you all catch how they did that? Started with something simple. And then went to the next step, and then the next step, and then to where he would actually fulfill probably what the intent of this particular overall objective was. You're wrinkling your brow, bud. Is that?
I don't know.
Okay.
Can't see regularly.
All right, there you go. I knew there was that. Okay, five. Okay, number five over here.
He attends the church meeting. Maintains close ties or practical with a local man of fellowship, displaying love and unity. And fellowship in area in which his family attendance does pick up, and also socializes with starts socializing with other Christian couples at church. And the other area would be in love, consideration of people and their feelings, and home communications would be building better between the wife and children.
Okay. So now that overlaps with number eight, doesn't it? A little bit. That's all right, you know. It's no big thing. You could, when you finally end up, you'll work on the basis of your objectives, and you'll say, well, this helps fulfill partially number two, number five, and number eight. You know, just in your mind, and you don't think of it like that because you're just helping him in that area of his life. You don't care what the profile says. All you're doing is making sure you're covering the waterfront. You know, you haven't got a hole in the dike, and that's what this will help here. Help you get, make sure that you haven't forgotten some areas. Okay, number six.
He demonstrates a servant heart by a sincere interest in helping others. We've selected a number of areas, and part of the main areas of this would be done as a family home relationship, where whichever case of you is more commanding and giving of himself and selecting activities. Also, the job would be similar. We also put in habits.
Okay, good.
Which would be hurting the servant's heart and then giving his heart.
Okay, good. Okay, so they identified the areas. Seven, I didn't mean to leave it out, it's just that I didn't get the breakdown quite right, but let's go to eight for just a moment.
We put down family and home as the title. The husband should be be a leader, we should look for the wife submissive, lack of argument, or arguments in the home between husband and wife, children under control, husband able to teach.
Okay. Okay, so there are areas in the home that you could identify and to give you evidence that a person is growing. Okay, nine.
That relates to a person's testimony at work. And we thought by the simplest would be some of the mechanical rules, like they can work on time and so forth, would be a first good step.
Mm-hmm.
Informed outward rules. And then the quality of his work, the own personal habits on the job, the requirements of the work he does. And possibly in order. Submission and the respect to those over him, authority, his attitude toward that. And right along with that, a positive relationship with those that he co-labors with. And then probably most difficult, but very important, is positive attitude and motivation relative to all of this. The thought that he do everything heartily as the Lord, not just mechanically grind through and obey these rules, but with the right attitude or spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe some feedback would be, or evidence would be, if some co-leader or a person of authority would feedback, you know, directly or indirectly, a positive response from that person's life.
Good. Okay, now you could probably combine those into two or three simple statements. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't, you could say, for instance, that he has a good relationship on his job in relation to the outward regulation as evidenced by getting to work on time, doing acceptable work, and a few other little items you could have included in there. Now, when you put those measures in and he says, he was late once this month, that doesn't mean he missed it, but that, you know, these are not laws. Then you could have another one related to his attitude perhaps toward work as evidenced by how he talks about his job, how his co-laborers talk about him, some feedback. See what I mean? How just narrow those down to simple things, but it's good for you to identify the evidences to put with them so that you can identify some things. Okay, and I think I want to make a comment at this point. I mentioned to Bud yesterday that some of the women will have a little more a difficult time working in terms of goals. You know, it's harder for you, for instance, generally to really criticize somebody to their face. You might do it behind their back. Women may be better than that. I don't know. But I don't think so. I think that's a common human trait. I think the men do too. But I found that men relate very quickly to this type of thing. And women, it takes a little longer because you don't want anything that has to do with mechanical. You know, I'm forcing someone into a box. And that's a good balance between you as a couple to be working with as you're working together with another couple. And I would recommend that as you are dealing with another couple, that you as husband and wife work out some things together that you are looking for in the lives, and you'll observe things for one another. Okay, now what I would like you to do at this point now, and I'll try and be as clear as I can on this, I would like you in each one of these areas to pick one thing that you can write a little objective on. Pick one or two activities, one or two materials, and one or two scriptures. See what I mean? With that one goal. Okay, now and you do it like in that work area. I would just try and combine a couple, three of those things. Don't try and do it for every little thing you listed, but try and combine one thing into some simple objective. And let me, for simplicity, make assignments to you on doing that. So I want you to have a little bit of a success experience. And so I'll assign in each of those areas what I would like you to do. Okay, in number two, work on the area of a beginning prayer life. Okay, what would you expect to see in prayer over the first couple months of this Christian's life? Okay, and number... Now, you could take quiet time if you wanted, but I just gave that one for the moment. Okay, and number three, the word, why don't you have one in the area of, take your choice, either beginning Bible study or in the area of Scripture memory. Number four... have to do with some of his early steps in witnessing and learning how to witness. Just one objective that relates to that. Number five, number five to do with his seeking out Christian fellowship. Number six, just take the area, the first areas of servanthood that you would be communicating. That's a more difficult one. Number eight, have to do with the husband's role in the home. And number nine,
by his sharing requests and answers and his desire to pray with me. And that's all that we got. We really didn't even list any activities.
Okay, let's help him. Okay, and activity one would be to spend time and pray, right? You pray with him. Another thing would maybe be that you just teach him how to pray. Okay, a material would be what? Pardon? Okay, Acts. Okay, that would be a little illustration. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. Okay, is that right?
Yeah.
ACTS. If that illustration. Now, see, that's just an illustration that you would use. Okay, and then there's probably a little material you can get, like 7 minutes with God has in it a deal on prayer. And sometimes with quiet time it'll work in. Okay, what are a couple of scriptures? Come on now. Okay, John 16:24, what? Okay, there you're going. See, in a matter of minutes, you effectively have been equipped to do something in that area. You've gotten a little objective, you've gotten an activity that you could do with them, and then as you do things with people, you might build up what you would do. Okay, let's take another one. Now, Bud, you got one on three there?
Yes, we took Bible study, and for our goal, we had complete the lessons on a lesson on assurance to get started in Studies in Christian Living, Book 1, doing an assigned portion weekly.
Okay.
And materials, we listed the material lessons on assurance in Book 1, Studies in Christian Living, and then we started to list some scripture verses.
Okay.
Related to it.
Okay, good. And then activities would be have Bible study with them, mm-hmm. or have them in a Bible study would be one key activity in that area. Another activity would be go over their Bible study with them privately. You could do some things like that. And they're just ideas, and that's what I want to communicate. These are ideas and not laws. You don't have to do this with every person. Okay, now in summary, let me say this about these areas. What I would recommend you're doing from this point out is, one, that you need to buy groups of two or three, maybe two couples getting together and doing a lot on your own, just jot down probably not more than 30 areas that fit under these areas. Try and simplify. God's going to do the work, and you don't have to cover every single thing that could be a possibility of fulfilling one of these areas of a disciple. But get a couple, two to three, per objective. For instance, on number 6 and 7, probably one thing may do in each of those. Okay, now your attitude as you go on, you don't say, okay, this week we're going to cover objective number 3, and next week I'm going to cover objective number 5, and so forth. The order in which they do these things is different for each one. For instance, some people will witness immediately, but you say, wait a minute, you can't do that. I don't have that down to week 4. You can't witness this week. No, you just observe their lives as they move. It should not be a structured thing that you do with them. But what this is, the way I put it for these objectives, they're for you. You say, now listen, am I having a prayer life? Am I to work on time? Am I doing this? And you start applying this to yourself. And then after you have gone through and got an activity, maybe in a couple scriptures on each one of these, and you know, steal them, borrow from other people, and ask them, and you know, get it anywhere you can. There's no particular premium to just doing it all by yourself. Then take one piece of paper, okay, and just list the topic on that, and it would not be the profile. And you've used the profile and the SCL simply as a guide so that you haven't forgotten some area that you should work on with them. And you've got those listed, and every couple, 3 weeks, you should probably just kind of glance through And on a particular person, just kind of keep track as to where they are. Just say, well, look, they're really moving in the area of their prayer life, and I think they've accomplished that. You've got, since you've written down the objective, you pretty well know the measures and things you're looking for. And besides that, other measures come up that you didn't have written down, and that's just fine. The main thing is that you have a sense of where they are going and where you are going with them. So eventually, this whole thing should just come down to a piece of paper with the areas, and I, like I would say at the beginning quiet time, intermediate quiet time or something, just a key me, beginning quiet time, I say, I know I want him to start having one. Intermediate quiet time that he's quite regular and has been for 2 or 3 months. And by regular, I know that I mean hitting it about 5 out of 7 or 6 out of 7 days. See, it's not legalistic. And then I jot one down in the area of family. Okay, I'd have beginning family relations. And you know what you mean by that, that you've seen some changes start to take place. Or you might have another one, husband and wife relationships growing. And see, these key you to areas that you're working on, and just as you glance through them before getting together with a person or with a couple, you'll have it in mind, various areas, and you would say, well, now, you know, tonight or this morning, if we have a chance, I'd just like to chat with him in the area of his home relationship. And then you get together with him. What he wants to talk about is prayer. Great. Press on in the area of prayer. But if in absence of some area that he brings up, you have a plan, you know the area that you'd like to chat over with them, and if you have a chance in an evening with the two of you couples sitting around, you kind of bring up this area and ask God to bring it up into the conversation. And by having done your homework, you're able to have some resources. He says, well, what can I do to help me in this area of the home? And you say, well, a couple of scriptures that you might consider are, and then you think, well, why don't we have a picnic together? So you've thought through some things instead of on the spur of the moment racking your mind. Let's see now, scriptures. I haven't thought of this area. But that you are prepared. I would rather see you work with one less couple and do a better job with who you are helping, especially at the beginning. And, you know, when you're developing some of these areas. Okay, I've gone a few minutes over time, and I'd like to just see, are there some questions on this now that you want to bring up?
At what point do you, let's say this fellow's come along super and he's got involved with his neighbors, at what point do you sit down with him and communicate to him to what degree what we have been going through here?
Okay. I would not communicate anything about objectives. I mean, they're for you, or even really the profile, until this person has reasonably successfully followed up someone. The first thing I would approach him with is, okay, you've got a new Christian. What would you do? And let him think it through. And then after he has started following these people up and he has the hunger and the need, boy, I don't know really what to do. Well, let me give you a couple ideas, and I would not give him this whole bag at once. I'd say, why don't you think of helping him in the area of the quiet time? What might you do with him? Then I'd say, what did you do? Well, I remember that I started out getting 5 minutes a day. Did that help? See, and gradually build him into it. It's only rarely that you have a big session like we're doing now. And most of the time, it ought to be communicated on an individual basis. But the key is, you can't communicate it unless you know the framework in which you're operating. And that's why it's good to have a framework. It's not legalistic, it's not law, and so forth. Okay, well, listen, we'll be meeting tomorrow at 7 o'clock.